in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. As we receive my father, the senior pastor of Covenant World Christian Center International, Reverend Dunka Joseph Gomwok in AGMI.
Wow. Glory. Oh, hallelujah. My. Oh, my goodness. My. Wow. Glory to God. Let's lift up our hands to heaven. Oh, Saprako Hodia de Mendecosta Sofrahikia Sisam Rohokos, the Bafa Hakayalabos. Oh, Krekis is a Prafo Homrajaman, the Hileakis a Prafo Hodia Labastaya. Thank you, Blessed Father. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for your great mercy over our lives. Had it not been for your loving kindness and your tender mercies, we all would have been consumed. We would have been like a proverb and a byword in the land. But here we are, saved by your precious blood, washed clean by the precious blood of Jesus. We stand before you as the righteousness of God in Christ. We stand before you without a sense of guilt or shame, condemnation or inferiority. We stand before you bold, and we call you Abba Father. Thank you for your love. Your love has placed dignity upon our lives. Your love has given value to us. Your love has given us the privilege to lift up our heads high. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this great, great work. Thank you for this great work, Avalanche of Glory Ministries. Thank you for this apostolic thrust. It is indeed a global ministry. No doubt about that. Thank you for your son and your servant, his precious wife. Thank you for all those whose hearts you have opened and stood up to hold hands with him in this great work. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done so far. Thank you for the amazing, amazing things that you have done. The progression of your mighty grace in this place. We thank you. And thank you because the path of a just man is as a shining light. Oh, a shining light. It shines more and more unto the perfect day. Thank you because all that you have done is such amazing. We rejoice in it. Yet what you are about to do. Oh, yeah, ma soko tore balangas. Yet what you are about to do is about to make all these years look like nothing. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for a pressed down, shaken together, running over, compressing of the blessing of the Lord in this place. Thank you for your precious people. You are the mighty one of Israel. Your hand is outstretched toward them and upon them. And no one shall leave this place disappointed. We trust you, Lord. You'll exceed every expectation. You'll go beyond the furthest goalposts. You'll do amazing things. We vow to give the glory and honor and praise for all that's accomplished here tonight. And we'll be content to receive the blessing. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Let all that agree with that prayer shout hallelujah. Let all that agree with that prayer shout glory. Apostle Luca, from the depth of my heart, I love you from the depth of my heart. From the depth of my heart. Your precious wife. You all know you're very dear to us. Very, very dear to us. Praise the name of the Lord. And all your precious, precious team, precious people here today. I love you from the depth of my heart. From the depth of my heart. You know, 1 Samuel 2:30 says, "He that honors me, I will honor. He that despises me, I lightly esteem." When honorable people, like Apostle Luke and his precious wife, we honor people whom God has honored because God has honored them. And when that happens, honor flows. Honor flows. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm deeply touched, not just because of today, but because of how you have helped me. I'm deeply touched. I know it's the Lord that has done it. And all I'll say tonight as I begin is, the Lord honor you. Amen. Let the honor that I've known and seen in multiplied dimensions, in escalated dimensions, rest upon you. A man can only give what he has, nothing more, nothing less. And today I declare by the unction of the Holy Ghost, if the Lord has ever given me anything, if he has ever put anything on my life, if he has ever shown me honor in life, the table that he has brought me to, the supply of the Spirit that has fed me these years. By the permissions of God's Spirit and by the grace of God, I bring you into that same flow. That same flow. That same flow. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has taken me to some places. He has allowed me to see some things. All of these 30 something plus years in ministry. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bequeath the very same grace, the very same unction to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Eat from the table that I eat. Drink from the cup that I drink. Enjoy the stream that I enjoy. Nothing less, nothing inferior. The very same one. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I might have dodged this meeting tonight, except the Lord had been dealing with me over some months about some things. And recently the Lord told me that as you minister this year, that this from this year, I want to begin to bring my people into their inheritance. Amen. And he said, as you minister, I will usher my people into their inheritance. Amen. That's why the confidence to make me come for a meeting like this. Are you here, somebody? I said, are you here, somebody? Yes, sir. So tonight, by the grace of God, I may not be dramatic, but I come in the fullness of the blessing. I may not be sensational, but I come in the fullness of the blessing. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose I am and whose I serve, Let me tell you the benefit of impartation. Some of us have been on this journey for 30 something years. You don't have to start from 30 something years. Now I'm saying this very deliberately, because the Lord told me that it's time for my people to begin to enter inheritance. Other things I'm not at liberty to say, honestly, is sacred between me and the Lord. But this is what I'll tell you, that if you receive it tonight, you will start not from where we stop, because we're still on the journey, but you will start from where we are now. That's what I've come to bring that to you, because that's what the Lord says you do. In parts, there are many other things which we'll hear too. So, it does not matter what season of life you are in, or it doesn't matter what your stage or your age is, it doesn't matter what your past experience has been. Wherever these feet have been in the spirit, I bring you there now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say, I bring you there now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Some of you listening to me, before this calendar year is over, these your feet will step on every one of the continents of this world. Physically. Hear me. No nation can shut his gates to you. When it was time for me to start my international journeys, and the Lord said I should step out, I didn't have anything. But listen, I hope you know that you don't need anything but faith. In God's economy, money is the lowest currency. I know you're well taught. So I'm not saying something here that's new. Apostle Lucas, an astute teacher, I know you're well taught. I'm not coming here to say something you don't know before. But I'm coming here tonight in the fullness of the blessing. I've come here to bring you into some doors that we have been in. Some zones in the spirit that we have been in. I come here by express permission of the Holy Ghost. You will not start from where we stop, because we are all journeying together. You will start your own journey from where we are right now. You will not have to go through what we went through for 30 something years to be where we are. I'm bringing you there now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it was time for me to start my international travels, and I began to go ahead one step at a time. Listen, God has three currencies you operate with. This the first is faith, the second is favor, the third is finance. That's the least. Like, you know, all you need to enter the next place in your life is the word go. When he tells you go, everything is there. People are there, places are there, favor is there, protection is there. When the Lord released, I said go, everything you need is there. So I started taking steps. I didn't have anything at all. But how many of you know you need to take steps? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. After this meeting tonight, some of you are going to start taking steps. So, but the steps you take will not be as before. It won't be as before. Remember, Peter was fishing all night. But when he left Jesus' boat, he went back to the same place he was fishing. The very same place. Some of you are going to new places from this place. Some of you are going to the very same place you have been before. Where you heard no, now you hear yes. Glory to God. Some of you, what you touched and was not working, now when you touch it, you will touch it in the spirit. It will begin to work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and we have caught nothing. Oh, the same waters. I asked myself, where did the fish come from? Were they hiding? Where were they? Wherever they were, when Peter went back at the instruction of God, from everywhere, tilapia, barracuda, sardine, all of them began to flow to that place. As you leave this place tonight, your eyes are open to see in the name of Jesus Christ. Your ears are open to hear in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart is open to understand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear what behind you saying, this is the way of the Lord, walk in it. As you go, the doors that were shut will open up their own accord. As you go, the paths that were crooked will become straight in the name of Jesus. As you go, what used to be a wilderness will begin to bring water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I began to take steps. One step after the other. I knew it was the season.
I knew it was a season, not because I had money, not because I had anything, but let me tell you the truth. By the grace of God, after this meeting, you will know the seasons of your life have changed. In this part of the world, we have two major seasons: rainy season and what? Dry season. How do you begin to know when rainy season has come? The winds start changing. You know that smell? You know that smell of rainy season? Where I smell a smell in the spirit. The dry winds are turning in the name of Jesus Christ. The dry winds, the harsh winds, the hostile winds are turning right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Ay, 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 ay. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Those hostile winds, those winds that resisted you are now assisting you. The winds that resisted you, those harsh winds have now turned in the name of Jesus. There will be the wind under your sails. That which resisted you has begun to assist you in the name of the Lord Jesus. When you smell that smell of rain in the air, you know that rainy season is at hand. Well, I smell that smell in the spirit tonight. Glory to God forevermore. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've come tonight by the appointment of Almighty God as a season changer in your life. I declare that wherever it was dry, now it is moist, moist, moist. Where the land was hard for you, now it is softened in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where men's faces were hard, now they smile. Where men's hearts were shut, now they open in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I began to take steps. Just like Pastor said, you have to take steps. When the season comes, you will know the season has come by the discerning of the Spirit. You are a praying apostolic house, so it will be easy for you to catch this. And you are a well-taught house. You know your harvest has come, not because you see it in the natural, but you have a sense. You have a sense. Something in you is restless. You know you have overstayed. You just know. Listen, listen, listen. When you know, when it's time, everything around you doesn't fit anymore. My God, the money doesn't fit anymore. The level of money, it doesn't fit anymore. Something doesn't fit anymore. You become restless. Glory to God. I sense a restlessness in this house. I know you know that your time has come. I know you know that the harvest is upon you. You're just restless. You go into the same house that you are thanking God for. It's not as if you're not thanking God, but something is telling you, no, the place that I am is too small. Oh God, the place that I am is too small. It is too straight for me. It's too small. It's too small. That's why I hear. I've come to help you. I've come like a midwife. I've come like a midwife. And I'm saying tonight, just push with me. Just push with the Holy Ghost. Ah, if you feel like shouting, shout. If you live like jumping, jump. If anytime you feel like running, run. But tonight, you are bringing forth a baby in the spirit. That thing you have desired, that thing you have looked for, that thing you have cried for, that thing your heart has hungered for. Tonight, I come as a midwife. Glory to God. You will deliver this baby. For God will not bring you to the point of delivery and not allow you to give birth. Tonight, you're delivering that baby. You're out of that hard, lean place, that hard place, that place of affliction. You're out in the name of Jesus. So I took steps. I started taking steps. Some of you are going to take those steps. Some of you are going to take those steps, and you'll find yourself in the United Kingdom this year. Some of you will find yourselves in Netherlands this year, Germany this year, the United States of America this year, Singapore this year, because you're going to take those steps. But you see, when you take those steps after this anointing, every step you take will be in the grace of God. Ah, some of you, after today, one step you take will be like 10 steps. Another step you take will be like 100 steps. Yet another step you take will be like 1,000 steps. Because you see, I'm coming in the fullness of the blessing. By the administration and the distributions of God's graces tonight, I have authority in the spirit to bring you into my room. You see, that is how God is. If every generation has to start from the foundation, when will the house be built? So tonight, with everything in me, I bring you through your pastor into the room I am. Your pastor honors me for the Lord's sake. He's not a clone of me. He has his own ministry and what God has called him to do. So I am adding this to what he has. Freely you have received, freely give. Man of God, I'm adding it to what you have. The length of it, the breadth of it, the height of it. For you and your wife, I lie not in Christ Jesus. When I leave this place today, if you look at my spiritual account, you will discover it's gone. I've given everything. Tonight, I give you everything. Add it to what you have and run in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I've ever entered any nation, if I've ever crisscrossed any nation, and I have a few, enter them in the name of Jesus Christ. Enter them in the name of Jesus Christ. Double it, triple it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
So I started taking steps. So I just knew that my heart here. I just knew that the season was there. How are you going to know? You're going to know because of that restlessness. There's a constriction in the spirit. It's not that you're ungrateful, but it doesn't fit anymore. Do you know that when a child is growing, a time will come that if a child was wearing size 3 and they grow to a size 5 or 4, size 3 doesn't fit anymore. Have you ever taken a bath with your clothes on? Just imagine that. No, try imagining. You want to take a bath with your clothes on. I'm trying to describe to you how you know your time has come. How you know you've outgrown a place in the spirit. It will be as funny and weird as you taking a bath with your clothes on. You just know. You see, as you've been receiving impartations from the set man over your life, hearing God's word, you're growing now. That's what the Bible said. The anointing destroys the yoke. That yoke was cows. Two cows were put together. The yoke was the connecting point to the cows. So the cows will walk in alignment. And then there's a plow connected to them. And they're moving that big plow to come and break up the round ridges. But when the Bible said, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointed, actually it's talking about fatted cows. As the cows, the beasts of burden, are fed very well, a time comes their owners don't realize that they outgrow the yoke. So the yoke doesn't fit. So when you feed on God's word, a time comes that the yoke doesn't fit again. The size of the shoe has changed. In the natural, there's a limit to your growth, but not in the spirit. From time to time in your life, you just discover it does. Lord, I'm thankful, but it doesn't fit anymore. Lord, I'm thankful, but keke nafe doesn't fit anymore. Lord, I'm grateful to you for this Ancient of Days car. I'm thankful to you, but it doesn't just fit anymore. You see, you're fatted. I've come tonight for those who where you are does not fit. If where you are fits you, then I can't help you tonight. But if where you are does not fit you anymore, if you're tired of where you are, if you're restless, every time you see the surrounding, you're angry. Face me, I face you, baro, you're angry. I'm angry. You're not God. No, I thank you, you've been good to me, but where I am now doesn't fit. That's where I am. I'm going to push you. Listen, not just to the next level. I've come to push you on a path of ever increasing glory. So, I took steps. All the unction you receive means nothing without steps. Impartation must transform to instruction. Impartation without instruction is a waste of time. Impartations translate to instructions. And you will hear a word behind you, as Pastor said, saying, "This is the way of the Lord, walk in it." I just knew I was restless. I knew my time to travel has come. Oh, glory, man. My time to travel has come. No money in the bank, but my time has come. No invitation from anywhere, but my time has come. I was restless in the spirit. I'm going to tell you something. Almost 40 years ago, I got admission because I was crazy about going to America and I wanted to study aeronautical engineering. I actually wanted to be the first Nigerian astronaut. I wanted to study aeronautical engineering. I wanted to earn my commercial pilot's license. I also wanted to study astronautics and become an astronaut. I was crazy. I got my admission early. 84, I got admission to a university called Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. It just specializes in aeronautics, the premier university in the world, in Florida, in the United States of America. But I didn't have any money, so I harassed my mom, see. Go and talk to some people that might die. Anyhow, just do it. So one time, somebody got a scholarship, but the guy just lost it. I harassed my mom, until one day my mom just turned and said, in house, can I swing in millions? Make a case for you. What do you want me to do? And it hit me. I pushed that widow too far, and I relaxed. I missed that opportunity. But I went to university, went into engineering, went and started doing my university, got into God's word. I didn't have good mentorship. I left school. I didn't leave school. I was kicked out of school. I was withdrawn, entered ministry prematurely. All kind of things started happening. And God began to bring me back. And I began to retrace my steps. So I began to feel restless in my spirit. And I felt in my heart, it's time for me to travel. So I just got up and I just started believing God. And I listened. The nation that came to my heart was America. So I said, okay, let's do this, Lord. One step at a time. I'm sowing my seed. Light is coming. I'm taking every step. I'm just taking the next step. Remember this. All you need to know to make progress in life is the next step. God guarantees you the next step. Don't try and take 5 steps at a time. This one I said, when you take a step in the anointing, God can increase it to 10. But you don't take 10 steps at a time. You fall on your face. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so as I went in my heart, I said, okay, people that need to travel, I had my passport, I updated my passport. That's first step. I released my faith, believed God many years ago, updated my passport. Then the next thing, I have to apply. So I went in, went in there. The embassy gave me a date. They said I should put in my account details. And somebody in church who had a very good heart, brother, very good heart, said, Pastor, you know how these things are done? Somebody should go and take money and put in your account, or we'll leave it there for you for 3 months or so. And then I said, no. I know you have a good heart, but that sounds to me like a lie. It's not my money. I don't believe, if I'm going to have a testimony, I want a real one. See, if you deprive yourself of a real testimony, Satan will use it to hinder you the next time you need to believe God. Because in your heart, you know you cooked it up. I said, no, that's not a real testimony. This thing is deception. It's a lie. Let's call it black and white. It's a lie. It's not my money. I'm not going to do that. I said, God cannot take me to America and give me a visa on what I have now. I don't want. So I went there trembling. And you know what was in my account? Money had been passing through my account, but when I did everything, my account balance. Oh, you want to know what it was? Slightly over 3,000 naira. Slightly over 3,000 naira. So I printed my account. My account statement was one sheet like this. When I went to the embassy, I had a file, thin file. One letter was from the board of trustees of our church introducing me as the pastor. And another letter was from the other sheet of paper was my account details, balance 3,000 naira. Two sheets of paper like this. I entered the embassy. When I went there, see people, all kinds of people outside. You enter the place, there's another entry inside. There's a outside, then they open that gate, security gate, door, and you enter into the place where they do actual interview. So we were there like sardines. As I sat there, my mouth, the devil was telling me, can you see people who are serious about going to America? Can you see how they are? One guy next to me, he had, God's my witness, two files. Doctor, every file was this thick. He was just going through his papers. Devil told me, how do you know it's devil? I know it's devil. Massive discouragement. That's devil. Can you see how people who are serious? Sit down. Can you see how people who are serious about going to America are? Something's happening to you. I am not gisting. Something is happening to you. See, portals are open to you. These scenarios will replicate themselves. You see, it's good when people who have brought giants down will tell you that giants are not exactly what you think they are. Giants are liars. That's why when I share my stories, I'm vulnerable. I don't show you like I'm one kind of Superman that I just appeared and said, devil, go. I'll show you the fight of faith. Because you need to know that. You need to know that so you will not think it's strange when these things happen to you. So you see people who are serious about going to America, you see what they look at them, look at the fire. You see people, professors, doctors, engineers. What are you? Pastor wannabe, engineering dropout. God sent me an angel in a small boy. A young couple had a small kid, about 3 or 4 years old. And this boy just held on to me. God did that for me. This boy just held on. His mom, you know, was uncomfortable. Who is this stranger? Who is this stranger? She was kind of embarrassed and afraid. Why is this boy just disturbing me? This is a stranger. We don't know you. And then I'm sure she was a bit afraid because who is this man? Who is this man? I mean, that's just touching my child anyhow. This boy held on to me. God sent him because as I played with him, I just told the mom, don't worry. Don't worry. Just leave him. He's not disturbing me. He didn't know my salvation. As I played with that boy, my fears, I was distracting my fears. Because I used the name of Jesus, casting my imagination. But the thing was, the intimidation was so strong. God sent me that angel just to. So finally, it was my turn. They opened that gate. The guard opened that huge door. And then we entered. You can see everything. Then another set of waiting. So as we entered there, hey, these people, fear is what they use. Everywhere was open and they were just talking, interviewing, open to on their loudspeaker. There are several booths or cages. As you're talking there, one guy was even talking as well. Then the woman said, sir, talk louder. I said, they don't want to disgrace people by force. No, I don't think you have enough money to travel America at this time. Sorry. I say, devil say, there's opportunity to escape. Oh. It is serious, people. You want to go to America? Wait till you get. I say, I did hear. I have the word of the Lord. I was fighting fear. I was fighting. They were rejecting people left, right, and center. When it came to my turn, you know, there's a time you say, if I perish, I perish. I know I'm not going to perish, oh, but I just slapped the devil. I said, what is it? After all, this is just an interview. This is not the gate of heaven. I just shocked the devil off. I beg. When I came to face my fate as a man, Makata Yaba. Maza. Sometimes you just got to be courageous and bold. Do it in the face of fearful thoughts. I said, I don't care which booth I go to. Lord, you brought me here. And you're going to finish this thing. At that point, I zeroed my mind. And they just moved me to one lady, chubby like this, American, white lady. My interview didn't take up to 3 minutes. Asked me who I'm going. She didn't ask me for my papers. She didn't ask me for anything. I just answered her, where are you going? Have you ever been to America before? I said, no, my first time. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going for a conference, and I'm also going to visit a friend of mine. What does he do? I said, he's also a pastor, but he's a U.S. citizen. He's the guy that sent me the invitation letter. Then one lady came again from behind and she had a passport and they were talking and they were talking and they were talking. Devil say, that's your passport there. They're putting it in a coffin finally. At that point, I'd already scaled, I'd forgotten. Next thing I heard, come back on Wednesday and pick up your visa. This was many years ago. Glory to God forevermore. And since then, I'm just going to tell you with all humility, anybody who has come to me for agreement for a visa has never had a no. And the Lord told me, I took you to the topmost nation of this earth to tell you that the gates of the nations are open to you. And when I went there, one of those times I went there for a conference with my pastor friend, I passed by Florida, I passed by what they call an exit. I passed by and I saw a big sign, Daytona Beach. That was the road to that university I got admission to many decades ago. But I was hurrying to go to Jacksonville for a conference and I looked at it. And in my heart, God is my witness, there was no desire to even go and see that school. God had brought me to bigger things. The call of God is the highest honor on earth. I said, God had brought me to bigger things. So, you see, what I'm saying is this. You're going to take some steps. Are you here, somebody? But this time, as you take steps, gates are just opening before you. Crooked paths are made straight. Rough roads are made smooth. In the name of Jesus Christ. So, man of God, every encounter, every favor, every honor that our Heavenly Father has privileged me to enjoy in these 30 something years of walking with Him, I say this with all sincerity. As I'm talking, I know that the Holy Ghost is bearing witness with my spirit, and these things are leaving me and they're getting to me. I add it to what the Lord has already given you in the precious name of Jesus. This church can never remain the same again. Amen. This ministry, according to the desire of your heart, can never remain the same again. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Something is happening. And something has happened. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Lift up those hands to heaven. I came today in the fullness of the blessing. Dr. Luca, it's not been happening like this all the time, to be honest with you. A lot of these things just started with me towards the end of last year because of some things the Lord told me. I would have dodged this meeting. But I know that this dealing that God gave you is because of restlessness in your spirit and the spirit of your people. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ceiling has been removed. You will go far and you will go fast. I mean it when I tell you, care not for the season of life you are in. There's a protocol that bypasses seasons. Care not for the stage of life you are in. You have come to a place and something is ripe in the spirit. It's not about your age or stage. Some of you are going to be CEOs. Driving the cars to your corporation while you're still in school. Driving the cars as a CEO of your corporation. Your corporation has bought a car for you as a CEO. Thank you, Lord. Lift up those hands to heaven. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. 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 Glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I brought something with me, and I'm not taking it back. You know, people can speak words like this and nothing will happen. Because we don't anoint ourselves. No matter the hunger or desire we have, we don't anoint ourselves. Who is it that says, and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded? But I tell you, things are flowing. I say, things are flowing. I say, things are flowing. I know you have released your faith for it, but after today, there shall nothing be called impossible. Take steps. Take steps. Help me preach to your neighbor. Say, take steps. See, one of the character of this anointing is that God is going to start nudging you. You start seeing and hearing. You get instructions. Don't worry about it. God knows how to reach you. Somebody said, how do I know it's God? Your pastor has been teaching you, I know. Let me just add my own little to it. How do you know it's God? God is very, let me use this responsibly, very stubborn. You can't talk him out of his purposes. You think the devil is stubborn? Where do you think he learned it from? Where do you think the devil got tenacity from? The creature cannot be bigger than the creator. As a holy sanctified angel, archangel, he got all those attributes from God as part of his DNA. He fell, the gifts and calling of God without repentance. It was perverted in him, not removed. So where do you think he got his tenacity and vision from? Where do you think he got it from? So how do you know it's God? Let me tell you this. Look, it's not that easy to miss God like that. Oh. You're in covenant with him. Oh. He will keep speaking to you. You keep sensing, go that way. Do this. The suggestion will come to you. He tries it one way, tries another, tries one way. It will keep coming to you. As you say, I don't want. Maybe you're thinking that it's one kind thing that will give you, that will disgrace you. How can I take this kind of big step? I say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. If it's God, you can't bind God. You speak again. And then it will be confirmed by peace. The more you go in that direction, you're praying with a sincere heart, the peace of God is just multiplying. Just go, because you're stepping into the anointing. As you step like this, your steps will just be multiplied. Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. Pastor, such I should be free, so I'm being free. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. I said glory to God. Please sit down. I've been preaching, though. I've been preaching. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship his holy name. We'll just sing it one more time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So dear and precious to me and to us. My dear wife brings her greetings. Praise the Lord. I've done one third of my assignment. I've done. I'll do two thirds. I won't keep us here too long. Thank you, Lord. Our theme, I asked Doctor for the theme of this month. I know I've been seeing it because I follow you all on social media. I follow you all on social media. I'm very serious. I'm not following to inspect. I'm following Apostle Lucas' teachings are some of the best you'll find anywhere. They bless me personally. I mean it. So I know you guys, you know you have a good man. So I know you're holding him very tight. Praise the name of the Lord. If not, we'll interrupt this thing and we'll start globetrotting with him. Maybe when he's away for 3 months, you guys will start calling him back by faith. So we're talking about the protocol of reaping on supernatural harvest. I don't intend to go into too much teaching per se because some solid teaching has already been going on. Hallelujah. But I'm sharing this because one of the things I was really, like I said, I was confident to come to this meeting because the Lord has started talking to me and saying that I had some encounters and experiences. I don't like glorifying experiences over God's word, but there are some experiences you have in line with God's word and you can't deny them. And I began to understand some things, and then the Lord now started showing me some things, and I started seeing it happening. And he started telling me that it's time for his people to enter into the inheritances, and from time to time, as he gives the opportunity and he gives the instruction, as I share, in some of these meetings that people start entering their inheritance. So when Apostle Luke was talking today, we had not talked about that. We had not discussed anything. He just asked me to be free. So I know in my spirit that just like he said, as a result of this meeting, many are entering their inheritances. Amen. God doesn't necessarily have all the time in the world now for you to build everything from the scratch. So you have to allow God to prepare you. Prepare you, because many of you are going to enter already prepared systems. Amen. One of my assignments tonight is to release you into already prepared paths. Amen. Because these harvests are long paths. Of course, you know that when we talk about a harvest, you can't talk about a harvest without talking about a seed. So you've been well instructed. And of course, you know that there are different kinds of seeds. Some of the most powerful seeds are not even the seeds you think. Money has its place. Material things have their place. Are you somebody? But I, just like you know, because I know you're well taught. Like I said, I follow you and I know Dr. Luca very well for many years now. I know you know that service is a seed. Faithfulness is a seed. Are you here, somebody? Honor is a seed. Mercy is a seed. When the Bible said in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, give and shall be given unto you again, good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Look at it from the beginning. Shall men give into your bosom? For the same measure you meet, shall men give meet back or give back unto you. It is. Look at it. They talked about mercy. He talked about justice. Are you here, somebody? Be merciful like your heavenly Father is merciful. A time is going to come in your life that you are going to need mercy. Are you somebody? So mercy. Don't be too quick to cut people off. Don't be too quick to condemn people. Listen, by the grace of God, through the Lord tarry, the race of life is still far. You may think you're such a hot shot today, but a time is going to come you're going to need massive amounts of mercy. I'm talking about the mercy of God, yes, but I'm talking about God's mercy domiciled through men. So, harvest time is a culmination of seeds you have sown. And that's where people miss it. They think that just because they give a financial seed, which is a weapon, you can weaponize your money by putting it into the hands of the anointed or into anointed systems. But in order for the harvest to come fully, you need all kinds of seeds. I always use David as an example. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30, after Ziklag, that he had suffered that heavy attack at Ziklag. Remember that story, 1 Samuel chapter 30, when he came back from his expedition, and he came back to his home base at Ziklag and found out the Amalekites had burned the place, taken his wives, taken the wives of his men, taken all their cattle, taken everything. The Bible said that they cried until they had no more strength to weep. Afterward, remember that David now shook up himself, went and asked Abiathar, the priest, for an ephod. Listen to God. Shall I pursue them? Yes, pursue, and you shall surely overtake. And he went. As he went in faith, oh, hallelujah. You see, he had heard from God. But you know, God didn't give him any detail. All God told him is that, he said, shall I pursue them? Say, yes, pursue them, for you shall surely overtake. And David just got up and went. You see, when he got that word, God did not give him the details. He didn't tell him the Amalekites were there, were here. David just went in the strength of that word, like many will go in the strength of that word tonight. And as you go, things will just start opening up. You see, all you need to know is the next step, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need, my brothers and sisters, you don't need to know 10 steps down the road. Step by step is how you enter your inheritance. So David just took the next step and just started going. They just started going. Probably following the path of, maybe they drop something here and there, but there's a way you know. I mean, if thousands of people are going in a direction, you will be able to trace their path. So I guess he was just going there. And then he saw this Egyptian child, a young man, sick, weak, famished. And David stopped and ordered his men. They cared for him. They brought him a cluster of figs. They started refreshing him. They said, who are you? He said, I'm an Egyptian. He said, yes, you look like you're an Egyptian. But of where are you from? What, how come that you're in this place? And the man said, my master, an Amalekite, saw that I was sick, and he abandoned me here and left me here to die. Of course, I guess lest they slow the bandwagon down. I said, oh, really? You're Amalekite? Your master Amalekite? Were you people at any chance at Ziklag?
Yes, you were at Ziklag.
Really? Can you take us to... Do you know where they're going? Can you take us there?
Yes, I can take you there. But please don't kill me. If I want to kill you, I would have killed you already now.
But don't worry. Get your strength. Lead us. Take us there. And I tell people this. If David didn't have kindness and compassion, he would have missed... That word would never have been fulfilled. Nobody told him to sit down and care for the Amalekite. He sowed mercy. He sowed kindness. So I'm telling you that life is a conglomerate. It's a composite. It's not a straight line path. Everything in God's word is important. Many people miss their harvest because they're brutish. They're harsh. Insensitive to others. Naaman, the mighty general of Syria. He had more fame than the Syrian king because he was the one winning wars for the guy. The only thing was that the king was the king. He was not the king. But he was the king's foremost general, most successful general. He gave the king of Syria and the nation of Syria fame because he conquered and won all their battles for him. But Naaman had a little problem.
He was a leper. With all his fame, all his wealth, all his renown, he was a leper.
And he had this little Jewish girl who was a slave in his house. And this girl said, Oga, he gets one prophet with the Israel. I guarantee you that if you see this man, your leprosy will be cured.
Say, you and me know both, that both of us know that this leprosy, if no be a divine hand, nothing can change it.
I asked myself, if he had been unkind and cruel to that girl, would she ever has whispered to him the secret? Are you somebody? To the thing that all his money and fame could not have gotten him. So this harvest comes to you in composites. Are you somebody? There's a place for praying in tongues. There's a place for honoring your pastor, honoring your set man. There's a place for this and there's a place for that. There's also a place for Christian character and compassion. There's a place for the fruit of the Spirit. That is why you see the priests that were ministering, the high priest, he always ministered with a combination. Those bells, there were bells and fruit ran about the skirt of his garment. Some were for the gifts of the Spirit. Some was for the fruit of the Spirit. The power of God and the character of God must go together. So I tell myself, what would have happened to Naaman when he went to Israel and he met Elisha? Elisha didn't even see him. You know something? You must know how to conduct yourself around anointed people. Sometimes anointed people may, some of them, you see, the anointing does not operate outside of your personality. That's why the Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's why you see some people, they're kind of calm and subtle and welcoming. And when God anoints them in whatever office they are, you know that He has anointed them, that's how they manifest. But you see some other people, have you just met some gra-gra people? You know, when God anoints gra-gra people, anointing does not remove the gra-gra. But they're still anointed. So if you look at the gra-gra, you might miss the anointing. So Elisha just did not... If you look at Elisha, you know Elisha had his own set of challenges. You see, when you meet a short man who is bald... I'm sorry if you fit the description. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about Elisha. Children came out to wherever I said to say, hey, go up, bald head, go up, bald head. Me, bald head. Is that what you use anointing for? You can bring all your exegesis and everything. You can say that the devil inspired them, whatever you want to say. That's not what you use anointing for. Are you somebody? But God didn't disqualify him as a prophet. So you can tell the way he operates his own prophetic anointing. So let the man, I don't even need to see the man, let the man go and dip, I beg. Let him go and dip, dog. He must say, mini, me, Naaman. You know my CV? Don't talk to CV when you're in presence of the anointed, though. It might vex the anointed. Took him. Go and dip in Jordan. So what? Are there not finer rivers in Israel? Why this Jordan, this muddy thing at this time of day, so muddy?
And that same girl said, Oh God.
If they'd asked you to do something 10 times more, would you not have done it? Calm down now. Go and dig. My point is that he must have been kind to that girl for her to take so much interest. She was a slave. Oh. Would she not have just said, nonsense, God punish you. Catching me and keeping me under slavery. Your karma has caught you. But that man must have been kind to her for her to take such an interest in him. You see, this anointing, this way harvest comes, is not always mystical. One time somebody said, are you going to anoint your shop? And whether people like it or not, they'll enter your shop. They'll buy. I said, hold on. Let's look at scripture very well. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Are you here, somebody? That's your God. He causes the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. So if I have my money in my pocket and I've not planned to spend it that day, and because you anoint your shop, see, the anointing is not witchcraft. Let me correct your head, some of your head. Oh. Number one, what you have in your shop, I don't want. I have my money in my pocket. And then because you are not in your shop, my feet will just enter and I'm like confused. I don't know what I'm doing. That's witchcraft. And then I spend my money and go out and say, how? What happens? This Ankara, what am I even doing with Ankara? I was going to Abato. I just entered this one, bought Ankara. Then you say, my God is a good God. Yeah. Now witchcraft be that. Bokane. The anointing flows with God's character. It flows with God's character. I said, flows with God's character. The anointing can bring them into the shop. Are you here, somebody? And then they had purpose to buy this. Praise the name of the Lord. And then it's your shop. They entered and you had the goods, so they bought it. So when they leave happy. Because God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Every miracle comes consistent with God's character. It comes consistent with God's character. Are you here, somebody? So they harvest waiting for you. There are all kinds of seeds you sow, and then harvest time comes. Praise the name of the Lord. I said, praise the name of the Lord. Now the harvest time is the culmination of all the seeds that you have sown. Praise the name of the Lord. And the harvest is along paths. You know one thing I love about God? Nobody can take your inheritance. See, if you don't take it, it will not be taken. Are you here, somebody? Let me kind of show you how your inheritance is. I'm wearing a size 11 now. In the size 11s, there are different types. There's 11 slim, there's 11 wide. Are you here, somebody? There's 11 in European, there's 11 in American. There's 11 in British. There's 11 in Chinese. But let's say I get my right fit. I get my right fit. And I start wearing and using the shoes. After a while, your shoes will start, if you use them frequently enough, will start in some way accommodating with the shape of your feet. Hello? I said hello. So when you are sowing to somebody, sow something that your feet have not reshaped. Because if you have both feet and you're sowing somebody with slim leg, he's not going to be too happy about that gift God has given him. Selah. So if you're going to sew a shoe, sew it before your feet have started adapting to its contours. That's how the inheritance is. It adapts itself to fit you. So anybody that enters it will be a misfit. God is that detailed. So when your harvest is coming to you, it is coming to you tailor-made. That's why there's no place for jealousy. Where is the place for jealousy? When your harvest is coming to you, as long as you're being a diligent sower, God is faithful to multiply your seed sown, to increase the fruits of your righteousness, give you testimonies as a result of that sowing, and to usher you along harvest paths. And that's one of the assignments of the anointing tonight. You are entering your harvest path.
It doesn't matter how many people have been rising, you will rise.
It will not stop your rising.
It doesn't matter how good God has been to anybody, he will still yet be good to you in the name of Jesus. Tonight, your harvest path will appear to you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is one thing I know, like I know my name, that as you leave this meeting tonight, things will start shifting round about you. Your unique harvest path will come to you. God is going to open streams of income unique to you. Listen, 10 people can be anointed by God to bake bread and all of them can be prosperous in the same city. Do you know that 2 churches can abide side by side and all of them are growing?
Yes, sir.
This harvest has to do with your DNA. There's no fight. No. If you do that, you don't understand God. Psalm 47 verse 4 said, he chooses the inheritance for the righteous. Psalm 16 verses 5 and 6 said, the lines have fallen upon me in pleasant places. They have a goodly heritage. I didn't always understand this. I won't lie to you. But when I started understanding this, I started calming myself down. God shocked me one time, Apostle. With the way God speaks to me sometimes, I just from nowhere almost. He said, Dunka, do you know that I did not call you to come first in life? I said, oh, I don't understand. You know, first of all, God will shake you. Shake your religious mind. I said, I don't understand. You didn't call me to be first. Because what is up there? The hallelujah. The anointing to come first. You shall be first. You shall be first. You shall be first and not the last. It's true. But let me explain. And he said, in my kingdom, we don't do things like you people do here. That when people go for Olympic Games, 8 of you, and Usain Bolt is the one there. So everybody starts from one place. You're going to hit one tape. When you hit the tape and they certify you are not wind-aided, they clock your time. They said, this one is gold medal, this one is silver medal, this one is bronze medal. All the rest wasted their time. Honestly, nobody remembers them. And you know, some of those races is by split second. That's their distance. So these guys are fast, but nobody remembers you if you're not number 1, 2, 3. He said, my kingdom is not like that. He said, in my kingdom, I've not called you to be first. Because my kingdom is not like that. Everybody has a different race. It's not the same race. So for all the billions of people who have ever passed through this earth, everybody's race is tailor-made. So he said, if you don't finish your race, nobody can finish it. If I don't do what God has called me to do in Jos, God will raise somebody else to do it. But it can never be exactly like me. God's work will be finished, but it will never have my unique touch on it. Because when God creates you, he destroys the mold, so to speak. So he said, do you know what? I didn't call you to be first. I called you to finish. Apostle, it changed my life forever. It calmed me down. It made me celebrate the victories of my brethren without being jealous. Because I understood that nobody can take what is mine. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7, Paul said, I've run my race, I've finished my course, I've finished. So God has called you to finish your course. So because you don't have the identical race with anybody, there is no first in the kingdom of God. God does not talk about first, second, third. He only talks about finishing or not finishing. So I'm sorry to say, you want to build the biggest business in town, the biggest church in town, that's not how God looks at it. God said, have you finished what I asked you to do? God rewards you for finishing. If it's going to be the biggest, then so be it. Then so be it. But your eyes should be on finishing. My point is that God, Erikasto Framaya, is reordering people's steps tonight. By the conscious and unconscious leadings of the Holy Ghost, you'll find yourself entering into paths that match your harvest. Hey, many of you have been digging wells. And they'll be striving with you. But after tonight, the next well you dig, no man will strive with you. It will bring water for you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are about to know what rest means. Some of you are about to know what quietness means. Some of you are about to know what restful, productive labor is. Some of you are about to be delivered from hard work to diligent work. Oh, some of you are about to rest
walk in your rest and see fruit. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. I say it's the Lord. I say it's the Lord. I say it's the Lord. So those paths, your harvest is assigned to paths. And that's what the Lord is releasing us into tonight. There are some things your mind cannot comprehend, but things will just start falling in place for you. The lines have fallen in. Have what? The lines have fallen together for you in pleasant places. You have a goodly heritage. Those are your portions. Your portions are assigned to paths, and pathways are tailor-made to your DNA. No fighting, no struggling, no cheating, no manufacturing testimony. Tonight, your feet are falling into the paths God has ordained for you. And let me tell you this, some of you after tonight, some things you have desired and pursued, the desire will just die. And God will give you a fresh set of desires. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 37 verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. I used to think that meant that if I make God happy, he'll give me what I want. I later came to understand that means that word delight means make your heart pliable, soft. Let God be easily be able to change your mind. Don't be too hard on anything. Because you only can understand to the extent that you can see today. When further light comes, you discover that what you saw yesterday might have made you a fool. So delight yourself in the Lord means at every point in time, yes, as you're going in any direction, just let your heart be pliable before the Lord. Let him easily be able to change your direction. He said, if you allow your heart to be pliable before the Lord, he said, what I will do for you is that I will now be the sponsor of your desires. I'll put desires in my heart that will connect you with my will and my plan and the path of harvest for you. And the God will start easing you in. Please sit into the harvest paths. When your heart is pliable, amenable before him, he can easily mold, he can easily get you to change your mind. So some of you, the miracle of tonight is that God will change your desires. Your heart will just start going a different direction. And how do you know it's God? As your heart is going that direction, oh, the peace of God is increasing. The joy of the Lord is increasing. Your mind might be saying, what is going on? But inside your heart, there's so much joy, there's so much peace, because your harvest is calling you. Your harvest is calling you. Your harvest is calling you. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So let me wrap this up tonight before I do the last thing in my heart. Some triggers for reaping our harvest, like I said, is not going to be brand new to most of us. And pastor is always doing a very good job teaching and preaching. So my job tonight is a little bit different. But there's some triggers for the harvest. Number one, the direction or leading of God's Spirit. The direction or leading of God's Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. Isaiah 42 verse 16, I'll bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them along paths that they have not known. I'll cause darkness to become light before them and crooked things to become straight. All these things will I do unto them and I'll not forsake them. I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them along paths that they have not known. I'll cause darkness to become light before them, crooked things to become straight. All these things I'll do for them, I'll not forsake them. You see that when God said, you're not forsaken, he has nothing to do with the Mercedes Benz or money or husband or wife or child. It has to do with divine direction. Once you can be led by God, you're not forsaken. Every one of us at some point in time in our life will have a place of blindness where we can't see too far. We need constant light and illumination from heaven. But he said, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I'll lead them along paths that they have not known. So God is bringing you along some places that you have never even perceived or discerned yet. But those things will open to you. How do you know it is yours? Something in you will just connect. Are you here, somebody? I said, are you here, somebody? So the leading or the direction of leading of God's Spirit is what we call promptings, like you have been taught. A nudging from heaven. It's like a strong push to go in a certain direction. Are you here, somebody? To consider a certain path. And the more you think about it, the more you pray about it, the more the peace of God is multiplying, the more the joy of the Lord is multiplying. That's the first trigger, the leading of the Spirit. Are you here, somebody?
Now, as you yield to the leading of the Spirit, the anointing will grow stronger.
Are you here, somebody?
It will graduate from a simple leading to a strong instruction.
So you move from the leading of God's Spirit and you graduate to the instructions of God's Spirit. The instruction of God's Spirit is a little bit more authoritative.
Are you here, somebody?
You can also call it a compulsion of the Spirit, a compelling of the Spirit. You just feel compelled in a certain area. Either you feel compelled to disconnect, because some of you, the Holy Ghost is going to disconnect you from some things.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking from a place of spiritual experience. God asked Abraham to disconnect from Lot. Abraham loved Lot so much, but until he disconnected from Lot, he could not see the next place. After that Lot was gone from Abraham's life, God answered, Abraham, now finally, lift up your eyes and look northward, southward. So the presence of Lot blinded Abraham. So one of the blessings I'm leaving with you today is the blessing of divine disconnection and disassociation. Anyone that's not supposed to be in your space is leaving your space. There will be occasion for it, don't worry, just say amen. You can trust the anointing. I'm not saying you should go, I'm not saying you should say, Mama Ruth, I knew it. That's what Pastor Duncan was talking. Mama Ruth, I didn't ask anybody's name. Anybody that's in your space. Now listen to me. They may not be evil or wicked, but they may be a dead weight. Somebody does not have to be evil or wicked to be a weight. They may be even praying in tongues, but they may not be useful for the next place. Only God knows. That's why I said, today part of what I brought you is the blessing of divine disconnection and disassociation. Man of God, some people will leave, some will come. Keep your heart in neutral. Just keep your heart in neutral. God will do it. And only God knows. You see, as you advance in the school of the Spirit, you want to get your inheritance, you discover that there are sometimes you must walk alone. One of the most difficult things that happened to me was sometime in my life was a particular individual. We have been so close. I don't want to go into some other details lest you find out. All I say was very close. And one of those days I woke up, man of God, and the Lord told me, you people are two parallel paths like this. You will never join. You will never connect. Wonderful man is not a sinner. He's not anything. But I noticed something, that my fathers of faith that have grown me, he has some kind of stylish, sarcastic way he talks about them. Now, you can't talk about Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland around me and we'll still be friends. It's Kenneth Copeland. God used him to bring me into the word of faith. And then Kenneth Hagin to lead me further in it. You can't talk about Bishop Abioye or Bishop Oyedepo and then I'll be smiling with you. I won't fight you. I'll just delete you from my space. Won't fight. You'll just vaporize. You can't talk about the prophetic ladders in my life. So at that time I didn't understand. This one was not even hostile. But I just discovered that he was. And he brought one white man one time to minister somewhere where I was living. And I was in school. And the guy also was yabbing. I was wondering why. It's not good now. It's not there, just naive. It's not good now. One day I woke up and the Holy Ghost told me and showed me in the spirit. He said, you are two parallel lines. You never connect. And the Lord told me, disconnect. That was one of the toughest decisions of my life. For no reason, we no fight, I just disconnected. What's the problem? No problem, sir. Are you interested in your inheritance? Are you interested in your inheritance? Get ready for divine disconnections. There's some people the Holy Ghost will tell you, when I walk down, you don't reach where you don't reach. Abraham, let Lot go. He's my nephew.
brother me aburo me o don wanna de ha
Lot go. So after Lot dealt with him and he was busy there licking his wound, God appeared to him and said, now can we talk? After that Lot had gone, now Abraham, lift up your eyes and look northward, southward, westward, eastward. All the land that thou seest shall be thine, including the one that Lot went to. But look at this, the point. Yes sir, thank you sir. Including the place that Lot went. But the point I'm making here is that it was until Abraham disconnected that he was able to lift up his eyes and see. So that means that the presence of some people in your life can obscure your ability to see and hear the next place. Some of you listening to me here, that is only your problem. One time, the king of Israel was going to war, and he asked the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, to help him out. And because they were brethren, 10 tribes had gone with Israel, 2 tribes in Judah and the other one, and he came, so okay, this is my, after all we're from the same Israel, whatever, let's join force together. Okay, let's go and meet a prophet, let's go and meet Elisha, let him speak words over us concerning this battle. When Elisha saw the king of Israel and he saw Jehoshua, he said, if it were not for the presence of Jehoshaphat here, I would not open my mouth and speak any word to you, you wicked king of Israel. But however, because of Jehoshaphat, bring me a minstrel. Now when that minstrel came and began to sing, that was a help to the prophet. The anointing in that music, the anointing rested upon Elisha to minister. But can I tell you something? There's an inference. You can infer certain things in scripture. It's not stated exactly, but you can infer it. You can come to that conclusion and it won't be too far from right. If Jehoshaphat needed something from Elisha and he entered Elisha's presence, as he was entering, the anointing to prophesy will rest on Elisha because of his covenant work with God. But when he entered with that prophet, with that king of Israel, anointing jam, rather jam, everything is dry. Yeah, is that Israel king. However, because of Jehoshaphat, okay, bring me an assistance, minstrel, begin to sing, and the anointing came. So I'm telling you, this is very serious. The Holy Ghost said, don't care about the age or stage you are right now, because right now paths are opening to you to your inheritance. Don't care if you're living with anybody, squatting with anybody. Don't care about your age or stage of life. Care only about this anointing. Oh, it will place you, it will exalt you, it will move you, it will create things round about you, it will create divine movements round about you. So you go to the instruction of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost will compel you. Praise the name of the Lord. Are you here, somebody? You will experience that in this season. I have good news for you. It's going to come early. Some of you are going to start testifying immediately, just like Apostle has said. So number one, the direction of the Spirit, the leading of the Spirit, the nudgings, the promptings of the Spirit. Then two, the instructions of the Holy Ghost. They almost sound alike, but they're not alike. With experience, you'll see they're not like exactly like that. The compulsions of the Holy Ghost, Him compelling you, is a bit of stronger anointing than just being led. Then, number three, you have the confessions of faith. Hallelujah. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe in his heart that those things that he says with his mouth shall come to pass, he shall have what he continues to say. Those are the confessions of faith. By the words of your mouth, you are held captive or snared. By the words of your mouth, you are released. Praise the name of the Lord. Those are confessions of faith. Are you here, somebody? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So another trigger for harvest is that you must consciously, without an anointing, without any sensation of an anointing, it's important that you learn, without sensing even any feeling or anointing, just deliberately speak harvest words.
You just wake up one day and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I will never be broke another day in my life. I'm a giver, I'm a tither, I serve the Lord with gladness. My paths are upwards and forward. Listen, you can talk your way into the anointing. Your mouth is a weapon. Weaponize your mouth and your words. You just break out and just speak. Praise the name of the Lord. Hey, in the name of Jesus, this place that I am is too small for me. These are declarations of faith. They set you on course. The Bible says in James chapter 3 that your mouth sets the course of your entire life. Your mouth sets the course of your health. Your mouth sets the course of your future. Your mouth says, so just learn to talk those words. Are you somebody? You guys I know are very well taught. I know you're well taught, but I'll still say it because repetition is important. Are you somebody? In this part of the world, in this part of the country, in Hausa they say, Yayali, how's your family? We're just begging them to manage. Words. You see, when you shock people sometimes, they'll arrange themselves before they talk to you. Because they want, misery has company, loves company. So even though for now your account doesn't look too buoyant, and they're coming to you and say, hey, how would this country be now? Just shock them. God supplies all my needs according to the riches and glory by Christ. This one, I'm madman. Just shock them so you don't come around with your mess. Or just shock them. I'm moving upwards and forth. No be fight. Now fight. That poverty devil is a very sticky devil. Poverty is a sticky devil. He looks for any way to come and tap. He just looks for. He's a sticky devil. Oh, he's a sticky devil. You have to use your mouth. You shut down poverty. Very sneaky devil like this. And sometimes quietness is consent. So there's confession by confession. There's confession by default, by implication. So if you don't attack the confession, the wrong confession, you have confessed with them. How's my family? They're doing very well, thank you. Shock that stinky devil. I'm telling you, the thing that creates money flow, many givers are not receiving financially now because of their confession. The poverty devil is very sneaky. He looks for a respectful situation. Even when you're talking to people who are older than you and you respect, you must find a way. Find a way. Man of God, find a way. May I live with my mom? It's an honor thing. And my mom's a wonderful woman. But old habits die hard. She has been hearing God's word for her. But, you know, I understand where generations is coming from. So many times the first thing that comes out of her mouth can be. So I just respectfully find a way to steer it. And change, because I can't be rude to my mom. Okay, man of God, you understand? I just steer it. Like when I go home now, sometimes the first thing, so I should just call and say, "Wani, Amutu." I said, "Thank God we're alive and in well in Christ, and we'll keep living and doing well in Jesus' name." So I just wanted to tell you, I don't need that information. But she's my mother now. It is something I can't begin to shut her up. But I'll just find a way to steer it. Very sneaky devil. Especially that poverty one. Especially. Poverty devil is a very sneaky, shameless devil. It will hide and look at your confession. It's hanging to see what you're saying. Then you just enter like this and just cut the flow. So you must be very brutal with that poverty devil. So I will never be broke. Another day in my life. Say I give. I sow into the gospel. I put my money in the hands of the anointed. Say I walk along the paths of the supernatural. Say I have no money problems. Say I will never have any money problems. Say money comes to me frequently. Money comes to me easily. Money comes to me in large quantities and in large amounts. As a matter of fact, I call my money harvest now. I say money coming to me now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout and magnify the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a shout.
Give the Lord a shout. Please be seated. That's the declaration of faith. By the words of your mouth, Matthew 12, you are included. By the words of your mouth, you are excluded. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Hey, it is that simple. Don't religion seeks to overcomplicate the simplicity of God's word. You have given to God. You are tithing. You are giving. Don't go. Now, what are you saying? This little words you are speaking. Hey, which can't be that? Hey, see the price of rice. May I inform you? No matter how expensive it is, you will have abundance in your house. Just agree with me. Just agree with me. You will have enough in your house. I am not a Masara Odawa man, so I don't talk about that. There will be plenty in my house. It's with your mouth. It's your mouth. And who is charging you for talking? Is somebody shooting you for talking? Open your mouth and talk in the name of Jesus. Say, I will never be broke another day in my life. Say, I'm more than enough. Say, I'm more than enough. Say, no matter how much it is, we are going to pay for it. Don't talk about shortage. Talk about abundance in the name of Jesus Christ. I don't know what the demographics of this congregation is, but within the next 3 months, between now and the end of this month, there are going to be car dedications in this church. Car dedications in this church. I sense an upgrade in the name of Jesus Christ. I sense an upgrade. I say there are car dedications in this. Car dedications. They will come from everywhere. They will come from anywhere. They will come from everywhere and anywhere. Now listen, when the car comes, God is changing your mentality and your status. Stop all this nonsense thinking that Zamu set the motor in Yanzu. When I knock at night, we invest in it. Shut up! You're going to drive that car! You're going to fuel that car! Then God is going to give you the money for the investment! God's going to give you money for everything else! I sense that the next level of blessing that's going to come into this church is going to shock your mind. God is going to shock your mind. He's going to move your mind. Your mind must migrate to another dimension. Oh, God's going to bring things that you cannot afford. God's going to bring into your life, some of you, things that you thought was for 10 years time. He's going to bring it now. My. I see God compressing time for you in the name of Jesus Christ. Some things that you thought was for 10 years. I said for 10 years to come. God is bringing it now. God is bringing it now. And as he enters your life, he's coming with a support system. Support system. Support system to handle it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will drive that car. That car won't drive you. When you step into this next dimension, it will come with a wherewithal. It will come with a favor. It will come with a structure to maintain that level. I'm not just talking about you getting something. I'm talking about God bringing you into a support system. Support system. Support system. Somebody say, just like that. Just like that. Just like that. You testify to your pastor. It's from that service things started happening. Glory to God forevermore. My. God is bringing you support systems. So it's not just about bringing you into a place and leaving you to be struggling. It's bringing you into a place. Part of your harvest is that miracle will come with a support system to sustain it. To sustain it. So the declarations of faith are very important. You are well taught here. But let me say it again. That it's not working because you feel like it's working. When you feel like crying, say the opposite of what you are feeling. I've noticed that is when it works the most. When you feel like it's not working, is when you should shout it the most. Because when it looks like it's not working, is when it's working the most. We walk by faith and not by sight. So you should leave this place. Manufacture your confession of faith. Don't wait to be inspired. This third one I'm talking about is the declaration of faith. By the words of your mouth, you shall be justified. By the words of your mouth, you shall be condemned. By the words of your mouth, I like saying this way, you shall be included
By the words of your mouth, you shall be excluded. So some people are givers. They serve in God's house. They tithe. All those things are an arrangement. But their mouth just cancel the harvest. Gabriel and Angel, Gabriel and Michael will be having discussion. Omo, Gabo, why this guy just frustrate God's grace now? Every time when we don't bring this thing, come, he goes just open this in mouth. Make God give us permission. Make we tape him mouth like we tape Zachariah mouth. But angels need permission to do that. So you don't wait. The typical believer will wait until you're praying and you have one feeling. Okay, now I can confess. It's good. Confess that when you sense the anointing. What if you don't sense it? It's still there. In fact, confess more. Because now it is of faith. Therefore, it is of grace. Then God is excited when you honor Him with your confession of faith. So you leave this place saying, "My broke, the broke days are gone forever. Oh my God, my life is moist." I heard Pastor Chris saying recently, "You know me, I don't like suffering." I said, "Oh God," I said, "Papa, me man, I don't like suffering." "Oh, you like suffering? You like suffering? You like suffering?" "I don't like suffering. I believe in soft landings." Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I can't resist tough condition, but I don't like suffering. My faith is working like fire. I don't need to suffer when I don't have to suffer. Some of these sufferings are meaningless. See, the main suffering you should be suffering is people attacking you for your confession of faith and jealous of your blessing. That should be the suffering you're suffering. Not this one that they're yabbing you and you're broke. See, it's easier to endure yabbies when there's money flowing. So how do you get out of that boat? Your mouth. You just wake up and talk. Pastor Chris talks about talking sessions. May I have them? Wake up in the night, I just start talking. I'm a blessed man. I'm no feeling, zero feeling. In fact, sometimes I feel like crying. No nation shuts its doors to me. I'm so wealthy. Wealthy people call me wealthy. The easy life is mine. Look around your life, Duka. Can't you see it? God has been gracious to you. Money flows like a river. You have no money problems here. Your challenge is how to listen to God's spirit to know where to give it. I just talk. The ministry is growing in leaps and bounds. People's hearts are open to me. I talk and talk and talk and talk. And when I don't feel like talking, I talk again. Because the word of God says, a man's belly shall be filled by the fruit of his lips, not by his sweat. Yes! I'm sweating in the kiosk from morning to night. I didn't say don't be diligent, but a man's belly shall not be filled by his diligence, but by the fruit of his lips. So you can work for 4 hours, and it's like you've worked for 1 week when the anointing is on you. I'm showing you divine shortcut. Don't despise this Bible you see. Don't despise this Bible you see. Just do it. Help me preach to your neighbor. Say, do what the word of God said now. Do it now. Ask them, "Abi, you like suffering?" Say, "Are you a tither? You better be. You dey tithe? Make you tithe though. You dey give? You dey put your money for gospel? I hope you give to the anointed in your life. Now talk your way into your harvest." I tell you, I sense it. Some people in this place, you are long overdue. Today you are entering areas. Areas of harvest. Areas of harvest. These declarations of faith, you must make them intentionally, deliberately, calculatively, without feeling. No feeling. You can be feeling opposite to it. Has no business with the truth. "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Just keep saying it. Talk your way forward. Talk your way into abundance.
don't hang around with people, stingy people, criticizing ministers, always talking that life is tough. Have you noticed the one that after they finish criticizing minister, they will not ask you for transport money? I tell them, that's why you're asking me for transport money. You talk about against the anointed. Continue. Now let me wind this for now. Then the last one is the shoutings of faith. You see, the declarations of faith can be made quietly, or you can shout them. But the shoutings of faith can be made quietly. It is not by might, it's not by power, it's by the Spirit of Almighty God. And He shall remove the headstone. The most difficult part of the equation of success shall be removed. The most difficult part of the equation of your manifestation, the thing you desire, shall be removed, not by power or not by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord. But He shall remove the capstone, the headstone, the most difficult part of the equation of success with shouting. This one, you cannot be quiet. This one, you charge at it. Devil, you can't have my money, you can't have my family. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm blessed, I'm a success. This one you must shout. Is a shout. The Bible said the Lord went up with a shout. You see, when the spirit of faith grabs you, you start from declarations of faith, then like a locomotive, then you enter the shoutings of faith. When you enter the shoutings of faith, the ceilings are blasted off. A time must come and say, no, I refuse to be poor. I like doing this one alone in my room. Because when you do it in church, sometimes you may be doing it for the because of people around you. I like doing it when the only audience is me and God and the devil. I said, no, no, devil, I refuse to be poor. This ministry will not be small. No, 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 we are a global ministry. No poverty here. I refuse to die young. I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. This one, you go crazy for house. This one, not a walk if you know crazy. You go crazy. This is not shimmy, 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 shimmy. This is a shout of faith. The shoutings of faith. So I talk about the direction of the Holy Ghost, the leading of the Holy Ghost, the gentle nudging, prompting of the Holy Ghost. Second, I talk about the instructions of the Holy Ghost, compulsions of the Holy Ghost. You will prosper in these things. I say you will prosper in these things. And thirdly, I talk about the declarations of faith. Speaking God's word. Yes, speak the word only. Yes, when everything seems contrary, speak the word only. Your declarations will determine and define your destination. Pastor, if you keep saying it in the face of people laughing at you, very soon you arrive at that destination. I know, because of the grace of God and the character of God's Spirit, you will not attack the people who talk to you. When you get to that destination, you will reach out and you will pull them there. Amen. Just like God. Then I talk about the shoutings of faith. There are some things that will not leave without a shout. As you speak God's word, the anointing boils up inside you. You come to a place that I call zero tolerance for lack of manifestation. Zero tolerance. And you shout. And you shout God's word. And you shout. That's when the anointing breaks loose. That's when ceilings depart. Lift up your hands to heaven. Thank you, Apostle, for the honor. I'll do one more thing. One more thing. First time it has ever happened to me in my entire pastoral ministerial life like that.
when the Lord started giving us permission. You know, there's some things that are traditions. Even Paul said that there's some traditions that are scriptural traditions that are good. So when we call a fast, when people fast correctly, everybody might be fasting. But we may be doing it because we're led by the Holy Ghost, or we may be simply doing it because it's a good tradition to get God's people focused on God, as long as they do it scripturally and correctly, so they profit from it. So the Lord gives us words for the year. It's scriptural and it's a good tradition, and it's inspired by the Holy Ghost. He gives everybody, he's given AGMI word of the Lord for the year. He's given us the word of the Lord for the year. But sometime in December, I think December 30th, our guys in church have been trying to get me to do a photo shoot, and you know, somehow the other things had not been gelling, so I was not able to do it. So this particular time, I just said it was time. So I said, okay, no matter, even if we have to do all night, let's just get this photo shoot over with. So we're just gisting, talking from morning. Well, it's about 8 something in the night. And, you know, we're just gisting, making fun, you know. I'll be changing and they'll be doing suddenly. So one of our media people, they'll just ask me to just, you know, just do a pose. So I just pose like this. Just playing around, you know. So I just pose like this. Then one of them just said, they're going to name this pose. And the name of this, the title they give this pose is Name Your Future. Because the way I was looking, Name Your Future. We're all laughing. That's wonderful. All of a sudden, you know, there's a thin line, Apostle. The anointing, the Holy Ghost is there, but His manifest presence isn't always there. So we're just joking. We just come out of Christmas, Christmas and everything. I was doing my normal fellowship with the Lord, but honestly, I wasn't doing any extended praying or anything. I was just enjoying myself, overdose, eating and repenting, you know, that kind of Christmas mode. The season, man, I mean. Christmas, sir. So I was of course enjoying the Lord, you know. He's not religious, I'm enjoying Him, obviously, but no any special prayer. All of us, it's like one moment the anointing wasn't present, next moment, as soon as this gentleman said, Name your future, the Holy Ghost, all I can describe is the Holy Ghost jumped inside me. One moment the anointing wasn't there, next moment, bam, the anointing just hit me. I said, what's going on here? And the Holy Ghost said, yeah, you name your future, that's right. I name your future. And I name your future. And this is the name I give your future. No ceilings. No limitations. No limits. No boundaries. No barriers. I name your future. No ceilings. The Holy Ghost was shouting inside me. The atmosphere just changed. The guys just went on their knees. On their faces. The anointing just... I couldn't get back out. To the photo shoot. Thank God somebody was sharp and they just started recording, and I called them because I sensed the anointing to prophesy. The anointing to prophesy. This is not my people. This was clear. The spirit of seeing and knowing. And the Holy Ghost told me, now you have entered the anointing for 2023. Now you have entered the anointing. That was December. That's why for the first time I announced the word of the Lord before 12 midnight. Usually I leave 12 midnight, but I described this as a crossover. And the Holy Ghost said, I've named your future. I said, there's no cause for fear. There's no cause for worry. He said, no. He said, the best days ever are here. He said, they are not just here. They're not just near, but they are here. They are here. They are here now. And he said, as you enter into 2023, you're going to be breathing a fresh air. He said, I'm going to help you like never before. I'm going to give you aid like never before. I'm going to give you succor like never before. He said, I've named your future. Glory to God forevermore. Apostle, we part alike. What the Holy Ghost said to one, He said to all. In the name of Jesus Christ. So if you permit me, I say what the Holy Ghost said to me. Because we part alike. I say, Apostle Dr. Luca, your precious wife, this precious house, I name your future. It's not me now, it's the Holy Ghost now. Sir, ma, I name your future. No ceilings. No limits. No barriers. No limitations, no boundaries. Whatever you see,
your hand takes in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody says no to you. No nation says no to you. The loins of kings are open to you in the name of Jesus. The gates of nations, strong nations, are open to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless you don't have need or want to enter, it is open to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever seems so far has suddenly come near in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your steps from henceforth shall be from mountaintop to mountaintop. Mountaintop to mountaintop. Hey, I destroy the doctrine of the valley. From today, I destroy the doctrine of the valley. No valleys, only mountaintop to mountaintop, only mountain peak to mountain peak. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that seem so far have suddenly come near. As you lift up your eyes after this meeting, you discover the things that seemed evasive have now hastened to you. You discover that they are your doormats. Ah, they're right there at your door. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you step into them with ease. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look around you and see now. There are no walls. No walls round about you. Every wall has been flattened. It has become a plain in the name of Jesus. We destroy the distance between you and your desires. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pull you into this space. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We destroy the distance between you and your desires. Kasokoto reba sakata raba sakata. Likresokoto reba nakanda zando zokete likayaba. This shall be the character of the grace of God that shall operate and be your new normal henceforth. No walls, no ceilings, no boundaries, no inhibitions, no limitations. What is that noise I hear? What is that noise I hear? Is a rumor I hear. Is a strong rumor I hear. And the birds of the air carry it here and carry it there. Nation to nation. Amen. Continent to continent. Amen. Sea to sea. Amen. I hear that in the heart of great men, even giants and legends of the gospel, I hear that the name of this man is mentioned in their ears. And they say, who is this young man? Who is this one? Oh, we want to know him. We want to hear him. And I see strange invitations coming from strange countries. I see that the thing you thought was for 5 years and 10 years. No, 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 said the Spirit of God. It is for now. It is for today. Men of another tongue. Men of another culture. Men of another country. Men of another color. Oh, it's the birds of the air that carry it. Strong rumors. And it falls into their ears. And it falls into their presence. And I see continents collapsing. I see seas collapsing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see that you're asking yourself, at this stage and age, but the Lord has brought you there. Oh, the Lord has brought you there. This becomes the new normal in your life. And because the anointing flows from the head down, so also shall your people migrate. Oh, I see the nations have opened up to these ones. I hear strange invitations coming. Occasions for traveling coming. Profitable travel coming. I see nations collapsing. Nations opening. I see resistance open, crumbling in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, not just by social media, but by physical presence. This avalanche of glory ministries is now a global ministry. The doors are open. They're wide open. They're wide open. No one shall shut. Many of you here, you've been digging and digging and digging and digging.
strife over strife over strife. But the next well you dig, no man will contend with you. You will hit springs of water, and these wells will be generational wells. Oh, glory to God forevermore. Lift up those hands and thank Him. Lift up those hands. Just as the man of God said, from today, watch it. From today, watch it. Life will start moving like this. Like this. Life will start moving like this. Upwards. Forwards. Glory to God. 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 Now let me say this. If you know this is your house, this is your spiritual house, stay connected. Stay loyal. You see, there's some things. I was saying this in church this morning. I said, there's some things that when you just get right, 80 to 90% of your struggle just ceases. One of those things is knowing the set man over your life and connecting from your heart. You may not know them personally, but connect to the structure in the church. Connect. There's some things that will just naturally be taken care of. And a lot of people have challenge understanding God's perfect will for their life because they've not submitted to the authority of God's word and the authority of a pastor or set man. See, when you put these things in line in your life, all these other details, you just find yourself in the right place at the right time. You'll be wondering, no man could have done this. How is it that I just appeared at this time and this was being said, this was being done, this was being required? How is it that I just met? How is it that I just fit? How is it that somebody can just set their eyes on me and fall in love with me? You see, there's some mysteries that happen when you submit to the anointing of God's Spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord increase you. May you never know a downward trend. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you leave this place, find your own path. Amen. You know something? It's never too late to be right. No matter how far you've gone on the wrong path, it will never make it the right path. So like I said, some of you is the blessing of disconnection and reconnection. Some of you is the blessing of a U-turn. But let me tell you something. Some of you are thinking, Pastor, I've traveled so long and the Holy Ghost is now showing me says I shouldn't have been on this road. What about all those years? The good thing is, in the anointing, when you turn around and retrace your steps, one step will become like 10 steps. Another step will be like 100 steps. Another step will be like 1,000 steps. You recover lost grounds quickly under the anointing. Lost years are restored quickly under the anointing. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Lift up those hands and thank Him. All that I have, all that akose pande le keremba, all that I have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I stand under heaven tonight by your direction. I say, all that I have that you have given me, I give to this house in the name of Jesus Christ. Every experience, every honor, every grace, every place I stand, every table I sit on, I give to this house in the name of Jesus. Start from where I am now in the name of Jesus and act whatever God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are living tonight into another world. You have stepped into another world. You are not the same person that walked into this place. As you leave this place, you breathe a new air.
Life responds differently in the name of Jesus. These words take immediate action in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You step into that world in the name of Jesus Christ. Many of you will not go to sleep tonight without receiving a sign. Let me tell you something. You know, man of God has come your way. Some of you, before this week runs out, will receive the biggest single lump sum of money you have ever received. Many of you, before this week runs out, some things will start happening to you. You'll have cause to say, this kind of thing has never happened to me in my life. This is what is happening. This is what is happening. Many of you listening to me, this week you'll be forgiven of all your debts. All your debts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you listening to me tonight, God ordained relationships that He has put in your life, not necessarily romantic. God ordained. Men are God's hand. Sometimes the devil attacks strategic relationships to keep you out of your God-ordained destiny. And for some of you listening to me, Satan has attacked such relationships. But I tell you, this week is a week of restoration. Those relationships God has ordained to bless you, God is restoring them to you many times over in potency. What they should have done weeks or months or years ago, they'll do 10 times more now, 100 times more now, 1,000 times more in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you walk from this place, you become a magnet for the favor of God. Some of you will be brought into situations where you and the people bringing you know that you don't qualify in the natural. But they'll say, there's something about you. I just like you. Can you handle this? I'll train you on the job. I'll train you on the job. Some of you, this year, people are going to pick you out and send you across the Atlantic Ocean for training. For training. They'll pick you up. See, this thing will fall on you. This thing will follow you. You will testify with your mouth that God has visited you. It is yours in the name of Jesus Christ. When all is said and done, everybody around you, plus including you, will testify that you are not the same person you were before. You have shifted. You have changed. You have moved in the precious name of Jesus. Forgive me for keeping you so long. Forgive me for keeping you so long. But I'm done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Apostle, I love you from the depth of my heart. Mama. I love this church. As I stand under heaven, this that has been done has been approved by heaven. This honor has been discharged. It has been fully released. You will testify. Give the Lord a shout.
We believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Satlonking or to partner with us, please visit www.agmionline.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 006-530-2610 or 0703-699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.